Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to whatever podcast application, subscribing to MotoVitality with whatever podcast application you happen to use, and or by going to MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Little bit of a different call today. We actually have a guest speaker, so we are going to jump right into that. I'm super, super excited about this. We are truly honored to have the immediate past president, Toby Thomas, as a guest today to have a little conversation with us. Toby is currently the president and CEO of Kinetico Incorporated. If you're in the industry, you probably obviously know who Kinetico is. They're a leading global manufacturer and provider of residential and commercial water treatment equipment. Toby does have more than 30 years of experience in growth and tackling complex strategic issues, but he's been with Kinetico since 2009. And as I mentioned, Toby is the immediate past president of the Water Quality Association as well. Toby has a marketing background and a lot of leadership background and an MBA from Harvard. So Toby, I'm super, super excited to welcome you here. So welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Kelly. My pleasure to be here and very much looking forward to the conversation. So it's an honor to be part of this call and podcast.
So I always like to start off, I always love the backstories. These are always fun, you know, because when you talk to most people that are in this industry, I've yet to find one that wrote on their fourth grade paper what they wanted to be when they grew up was in the water treatment industry. Are you the exception to that? I mean, how did you find yourself in this industry that we all kind of find ourselves in?
Yeah, well, that's a great note. So I think taking the poll, Kelly, I am like you. And others, I frankly didn't even know about the water treatment industry until I really got into it a little over 12 years ago. So a little bit about, you know, how I got into it and how I came here. So thank you for your very generous words on my background and so on. Most people don't realize or remember that I'm actually a chemical engineer by undergrad training. And so I'm a geek at heart. And when I practiced as an engineer for a number of years and then went and got a business degree in Boston. But when I got out of there, I actually started working with a sort of high-end and boutique strategy consulting firm. It's founded by a fellow by the name of Michael Porter, who's kind of the strategy guru, and those who are kind of students of strategy kind of recognize him for the five forces and many kind of industry structure things. So long story short, I was in that for nearly 20 years and advising people like Coca-Cola, Chief Marketing Officer Coke, Heineken, Eastman Chemical, Merck, AT&T, lots of different industries. And I really got a strong sense of, you know, what makes good industries tick and what makes attractive businesses move forward, and compelling businesses. And so one of the things that, and one of the focus, as you said, sort of marketing background, a lot of experience thinking about growth and growth companies. And so, frankly, how I got here was I frankly just got being tired of being an advisor and really wanted to, use some of my engineering roots and some of my kind of toolkit of how do you think about growing companies and growing industries and thinking about structural stuff. So that's a pretty, pretty long-winded way of saying I really was looking for a place and a company and an industry that was really had great things in the water treatment industry. When I was approached with an opportunity to come to Kinetico, was really fascinating. And I think it's important for everyone to understand that, you know, we're an industry that has a really great need first, and secondly, you know, the technology, particularly in the residential and the commercial space, is largely underpenetrated. And there's a stable set of technology, and it's a structurally very attractive industry. And so when you come to a place where not only you have in an industry, you not only have a kind of a good way to an earnest and honest way of making a great living, but you also have a way of with a great moral purpose, which is actually improving people's lives at the end of the day. And so there's rare, you know, so what I found when I entered was, you know, I hadn't heard about this industry. I didn't know much about Kinetico. I knew a little bit about some of the competitors. But I kind of started looking at how people think about water and how the regulations work and how everything else works, and found, you know, a company in an industry that was very supportive and progressive in terms of thinking about the betterment of people's lives and the betterment of technology, and we're not, you know, so interested in, you know, poking each other in the eye and doing things for their own self-glory and reputation, but actually genuinely trying to make a difference and genuinely doing so in a way that, you know, we could actually create employment. We could, in fact, you know, help shape and move society in ways that are going to be beneficial for it. So long way to say, and there are very few industries and situations where that's true, and I'm really happy to say that, you know, how I found myself into it. I've been here over 12 years, and I never look back. I'm having a really great time. I think the industry has never been stronger, and, you know, and the companies have never been stronger, and the dealers have never been stronger, and so I think it's a great time to be part of the water quality business.
Yeah, I agree. So in your tenure, you know, as president, okay, you actually, even as coming up as vice president, I mean, the whole time you served as vice president and then as president, you got to experience the zombie apocalypse years, you know, where things were. You know, as vice president, your incoming, everything was shut down. We didn't have any in-person events at all, and
right.
And then you sort of had a hybrid as you served as president this last term. How did that go? I mean, how did you have to adapt? What did you learn from that? You know, tell me about that experience.
Yeah, I think obviously none of us understood COVID and how that was going to impact the business and our personal lives and our employees' lives as well. And I think what we kind of learned and what we did, I think, was really important, is that we recognized this was the time to speak up to regulators and legislators about the critical role that we play for public health and public safety as being declared as an essential business. It's one of the very first things, and you know, I'm you know, so sad of his passing, but David Loveday.
Dave.
Yeah, really, you know, Dave really kind of drove and helped the industry, frankly, all participants, you know, keep our doors open and make sure we're doing vital work. So I think that also bolstered a lot of people's feelings about what they do, is saying, you know, we're actually pretty important to the economy and to the public and the community, not only for what we do, but also for employing and keeping people safe and really kind of operating, you know, trying to, which gets into the second part of this, which is you have to adapt and you have to, I mean, a lot of the things we were making stuff up as we went. But I think we did it all with, you know, okay, how do we keep people safe? How do our employees safe? How do we keep customers safe? How do we continue to do what we're going to do? We're going to have to adapt, and we're going to have to make some investments, and we're going to have to hold people in place, and we're going to have to drive through this because we're going to lead the industry. And that was, I remember the conversations we had at WQA around, it is really important that we double down at this point and continue to drive you know, the important work that we're doing in the industry, whether it be certification or, you know, helping support legislation and what have you going forward. So in a lot of ways, it actually created a bit of an opportunity for us to, you know, cut through the wheat and the chaff as to kind of why we're so important. And so the third thing we learned is that you have to be adaptable and flexible. I mean, there's you know, no one expected would be in, I don't know, we're probably in wave four or five now. You have to adapt and you have to be flexible and you have to think about moving your businesses forward in a different way. But I think the kind of key, we never lost our North Star, we never lost our compass, which is how do we serve the members and the public in what we're doing every day and adapting our own business practices and so on to do that. So I think with great success, as I said, with a lot of adversity, you know, begets sort of opportunity at the end of the day. And I think as a consequence in coming out of the pandemic, you know, WQA and the industry has never been stronger and is never having the kind of impact that we've had in the past and where we are doing things we've frankly never done before. So, yes, and I think the key was, you know, we just needed to keep going and believe in what we're doing. And I think it largely, very much so, was successful.
Yeah, I think I like that we've had, you know, one of the things that I saw was the pandemic gave some people an opportunity to be exposed to WQA, whereas they wouldn't have before because it forced us to go virtual.
Right.
And
right.
Not that I want to stay virtual, but I know that I was able to bring some of my team members to the meetings that, you know, I wouldn't have been able to afford to bring before, you know. So, Jen, do you mind if we go on and do a group mute? Just because I hear a little bit of background in the
yep.
Back there.
Yep.
So, Toby, we're going to mute everybody, *6 to unmute yourself, just so we can get, you know, we can eliminate some of the background.
And if there's anybody that has any questions or comments, then *6, that unmutes you. But, yep, give me 1 second.
All right, Toby, you back with
us?
Hi,
it's Toby back. I'm back.
All right, perfect. Yep. I think sometimes phones, you know, they pick up a lot of stuff in the background, even when people are just walking around. So, so it's, you know, as you've kind of come into I guess let me ask you this. Had you ever, in your previous life, had you ever been deeply involved in an association the way you have been in this industry? I know you were, you know, you had another life in marketing and advertising. Were you involved in the, you know, kind of the representative association prior to that?
Not directly, which is, I think, one of the great privileges I had being, you know, but I did have a lot of experience understanding structurally where things needed to go and how we, you know, where there could be opportunities for the industry. And I think that very much in my old background, I think one of the great things about our industry association and in the industry overall is that, frankly, we all listen to each other. We're not squabbling. And so I think a lot of the tenets of what, you know, leadership is and how you help, you know, move the kind of industry and the association into ways that are going to, you know, make it better for the public and for our members and for everyone else is that kind of first principle of really listening and getting into good, honest debate about things and discussing things, but also to test some boundaries and push forward because many of the things that were put in place years and years ago are no longer relevant or no longer helpful. And so while I hadn't directly kind of played a role in industry, a lot of the kind of client service is what I've always done is I always kind of listen members first and kind of with our colleagues, but actually also have a kind of a point of view and perspective on where we should be going and, you know, seeing if that makes sense to everyone and moving in that direction. So, and I think our industry is quite unique and our association is quite unique in that stance. And the fact that we also do, you know, certification work, both in professional and product certification, is actually quite important for the nature of what we do. And I think, you know, this call is actually a great manifestation of that, which is a dialogue among, you know, participants in the industry as opposed to, you know, you know, here's a set of emails from someone on high saying what we need to do.
You know, that's exactly why I would love for you to speak to this a little more too, but you know, when I first came in the industry, I lived in the bubble, you know, the manufacturer that I represented, even, you know, at the dealer level and at the lower levels, it was, you know, rah, 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 we're the best. Everybody else sucks. If you don't buy from us, you're stupid type stuff. You know, and then as I got higher up into, you know, into the outside of the bubble, outside of that local bubble, talking to people that were more involved in the industry and WQA and even within the own, you know, that organization, I realized exactly what you were saying is that the people that are up there, it's less about, I mean, you got to have brand loyalty, right? You got to have people who are committed, who believe in their brand when they walk into a home or a business and they're talking to a customer, they have to believe that what they have, that they're able to offer the best quality and service, you know, so you have to have some of that. What I always was disappointed in and what I still get a little disappointed in is when those individuals on the ground forget that we are part of something so much bigger, you know, and that it's as long as you have somebody representing our products with integrity and honesty and, you know, and not making claims that they are not allowed or able to do, then it's good. The customer, it's good that the customer is doing something, you know, as opposed, and I loved what you're talking about. You know, you kind of came into it at those levels. I love that you brought kind of the outside perspective. I mean, you came into, I knew Bill and Jim from Connecticut and was among the longtime Connecticut people that were always worried about what happened when Bill and Jim were gone. For those of you listening who aren't aware, Bill and Jim are the guys that started Connecticut Incorporated, and they were hands down people over profits. I mean, they were just incredible people, just down to earth, talk to anybody. And a lot of us in the industry were really worried about that until you started to see people, and I'm going to stroke you a little bit here, Toby, you started to see them bring people like yourself into the organization, people that have the same philosophy who they wanted to grow the business and make it profitable, but also they wanted to maintain that we're here to help attitude. And I've seen, you know, how has it been? That's not always the case in a lot of these companies. Would you agree with that? I mean, you've been involved in a lot of companies. I mean, there's something different about the underlying desire with the owners and manufacturers of most of the people in our industry. They truly want to make a difference in people's lives and in the world. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think there's often people have this sort of, I view it as a false kind of choice, which is, you know, if I'm not actually, you know, moving my professional, you know, kind of standards higher and higher, if I'm not trying to do better and better products, if I'm not trying to serve customers in new and innovative ways, which are hard and different and taking advantage of trends, then you're going to become irrelevant. And so change, there's always change in industry. There's always ways to advance and to think forward. And so many of the things that we, again, are not only good for the industry and good for the public, but good for business. The point is these aren't trade-offs. So a lot of people say, well, it's good for the business, maybe good for the public, but it's going to be bad for the business. Well, no, that's generally not true. And so you can do what's right for the customer. You can do what's right for the industry. And generally those things will be good for business as well. And you know, companies are the agents of social change. And so, you know, by focusing on, you know, your employees and focusing on making sure they have great careers and focusing on customers and in ways that you understand the constraints they're under and how your product can help them and being clear about that and understanding how they may be mystified about all these challenging things. And you focus on those elements. And coming back to what I was saying, that, you know, a lot of these kind of changes, people sort of demonize a lot of companies saying, you have a profit motive. Well, I say, well, yes, of course. But that's an outcome. It's not a desire. The only way you do it is by growing customers and growing your reputation and growing and doing more and valuable and important things, and the profits will come. So I've frankly rejected that kind of, you know, people are in it just for the money. They never are. But the thing, the key is, and what's great about our industry is that we do have this kind of moral purpose about helping people get better water in their lives. And as you said earlier, I'm indifferent at some level, whether they be a kind of a more straightforward filter they use or, you know, whole home, fancy kind of system. The point is they're taking choices and they're looking to better their water. And they'll know once they get into it that they will want more, and they'll look to, you know, at managing these things, which are frankly fairly straightforward to manage. So, So I think it's a very I'm a big student of really starting with what customers want and why they're buying, and if we have a frivolous product, which we don't, and if we have a product that adds no value, which we don't, then they shouldn't buy it. But they do, and we have the advantage of products and services and as an industry that are massively undervalued and underpenetrated. And so our work is really, how do we get the word out? How do we work as an industry to make sure people are aware that, you know, if they've got concerns about what's in their water, there are many, many readily available and frankly fairly straightforward things they can do about it now. And so it's really around engaging people and regulators and legislators and utilities and about what we do, and largely that has impacted us and come out with I think a great career and a great business for, you know, dealers and manufacturers and suppliers, and it's a terrific industry.
So a lot of the people on this call, we tend to get, according to my statistics, 100 to 150 people who listen to this after, you know, on their own time. They download them and listen to this in the coming week. But a lot of them are people that are newer in the industry. They're not, you know, coming to the conventions as much. They're, you know, they are out there, you know, in the field, in the home, doing service or selling the equipment from a multitude of manufacturers and products all over the country. You, Toby Thomas, immediate past president of WQA, you know, if they're anything like I was when I first came to the WQA convention, you know, 20 some years ago, and watched the presidents and the leaders of the industry stand up on those podiums and get their awards and talk about all this stuff, you know, they seemed so larger than life, wow, those people know what they're doing. They're the movers and shakers of this industry. You know, I mean, it was huge. And so, you know, for somebody like that sitting out there that isn't aware, that hasn't really had a chance to talk to you guys, you know, they may not have an opportunity to get that one-on-one advice because they're not approaching you and asking you. So what I'd like you to do, if you could, take just a minute and talk to those people directly, the new people, the people that have not been to a convention, the people that are out there just trying to make a living selling water treatment equipment or installing water treatment equipment or working in an office, you know, as support. You know, what are you, Toby Thomas, immediate past president of WQA and president and CEO of one of the largest manufacturers in the world of water treatment equipment, what do you say to those people?
That's a great question.
No pressure,
Kelly. Yeah, no. It's actually a really important question. And again, this is where some of my perspective, let me back up for a sec. I don't know, I'm probably too old for most people on this call, but there was a movie called The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman. And there's a very famous line in there with, you know, at some cocktail party, I can't remember the exact scene, where, you know, he's the young graduate getting into an industry, you know, trying to get his thing started. And some wizened, you know, fellow comes up to him and says, you know, I got one word for you, plastics. That was the line that kind of the age of the world in the sort of 70s and 80s when that 60s and 70s when that came out. What I will tell you, and I've seen this time and time again, water. So I think the first thing I'd give folks is congratulations. You've joined a really important and hot for the long term, long run business. As I said, you know, all water is, you know, the water need is there. All water is local. Water is the universal solvent. You know, flies picking up stuff that, you know, other materials. You can't destroy matter. So, there, you know, the technologies are stable, blah, blah, blah. All of that suggests that there is a tremendous and ongoing and upward trending need, as far as I can see. So the first thing is, don't doubt that, is this a fad or this is kind of, are we doing something valuable? We are. The second thing, the general advice I would suggest, so believe in yourself and believe in what you're doing. The second is dive in, jump in, go learn, you know, better yourself, learn how to be a more effective installer, learn how to be a more effective salesperson and understand the science and the technology, how to apply it, how to serve customers. If you really have a passion and a growth mindset for how do I better myself in understanding water applications and understanding how these products and services work and how to understand how to talk about it with customers, you will win and you will have a long and valuable career in here. So I would definitely encourage you to get involved with WQA. You know, go to do some of the professional training, listen to, some of the come to convention, come to a lot of and participate in that. So learn from, you know, senior and very established people in the industry impart their wisdom on it. And they're all basically have a common theme, which is get involved, do it, push the state of the art yourself, learn it, and you will have a long and valuable career. And proudly talk about what we're doing, because we are making a big difference in everyone's lives. And it's funny, when we do that and we talk about it, it's amazing. You know, you're right. It's really cool. So sometimes we can be our own worst enemy and thinking about, well, you know, we do these other things. No, we actually do very important work for the public.
Toby, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left here. Where do you see the future going? You know, what is next for you? I know that you stay on the board as advisor, and you're still involved, but what is next for you, and where do you see, what do you think is next for the industry in general?
Well, I think a lot of the things that we have been doing at the industry level are going to continue, and again, something we've been pushing hard, you know, thinking about the Healthy H2O Act and helping legislators learn about how we are a supplement and an important element to helping people get better water in their lives. Second is the public awareness campaign about, you know, learn about your water and you can take care of these kinds of things. And I think continuing to kind of push the professionalization of what we do and building on what we have, I think we'll continue to see more and more people seeing and adopting and using our products and services in the future. So I really do see continued growth in the industry. I see continued sort of professionalization of what we're doing and great learning opportunities for everyone. And I see really important and valuable trades and manufacturing jobs and state of the art in terms of how one communicates and engages consumers and markets in a different way. So you can tell. So while I was president, now immediate past president, and you know I'll be continuing to work with and hand over the reins to others. But I will always be there to support and think through from a company and an industry association perspective. What can we do to better the industry and our members and also the public at the same time. So I'm not going away.
Good.
Long-winded way of saying it's good stuff. It's fun stuff. It's important stuff. So I continue to remain committed to doing that.
We are almost out of time. Does anybody have any immediate pressing questions for Toby? So, Toby, I will put your email address, if it with your permission, in the comments of the podcast. If anybody has any questions, I always appreciate how quickly you respond to those. And you're also on LinkedIn as well. So, Toby, thank you so much, not only for the half hour and the time to, that you've given us here on this call, but also to your service to this industry. And I look forward to chatting with you in person again, probably in Tahoe, right? Will be the next time. So.
Exactly. Terrific. Yes. So. Well, thank you, Kelly. Really appreciate the opportunity to catch up here, and thank you to all for, you know, for everything you're doing in the industry. That's it's important and very valuable. So thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks. Be safe, everybody. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thank you, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.